from Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Leslie Curran here, saying hello and welcome once again in the Saviour's name. Yes, welcome to another Let the Bible Speak broadcast. It's good that you're able to tune in, and I hope that you'll stay with us for the next quarter hour as we bring God's precious word to you. Doing that is the Reverend Ian Brown, as he lets the Bible speak on God versus Pharaoh from Exodus chapter 8. That message right after these words in song.
Down at the cross where my Saviour died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name, there to my heart was the blood applied. Fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name. Oh, glory, come to the fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory.
I'm sure many of you would be able to list most, if not all, of the plagues that fell on the land of Egypt during the days of Moses. Well, if you can't actually rattle them off, parrot fashion, numbers 1 through to 10, you'll at least recognise them. But have you ever asked yourself the question why God sent this particular sequence of plagues upon the Egyptians? Good morning, I'm Ian Brown, and in our message today we're going to answer this rather interesting and, I feel, very important question about the 10 plagues of Egypt. But to give us the proper lead into our subject, let's turn to a few verses in the Old Testament scriptures, Exodus chapter 8, verses 1, 2, and 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, Entreat the Lord, that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. The 10 plagues of Egypt. Why were they sent? And why did God send the particular ones he did? I mean, why send frogs? Why send fire? Why send locusts? Why send murrain and lice? Why smite the firstborn? Was it just a case of deciding on what would inflict the most damage and misery? Was it just some will-o'-the-wisp, shot-in-the-dark, bow-drawn-at-adventure type of thing? Or was it a calculated, carefully planned, and fully intended operation by the Lord our God? You can rest assured it was the latter. God makes no mistakes. He takes no rash decisions, and He doesn't embark upon any hastily conceived plans. Nothing our God does is an accident. Now, I believe this will encourage you. It certainly thrills me. Every one of those plagues that descended upon the land of Egypt, numbers 1 right through to 10, came as part of God's carefully conceived plan. Why did He send them? In Exodus 20, in the verses 3 to 6, the Lord Jehovah gave his people this law: Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. The Lord kept reminding his people of this truth as the years went by. In fact, some 800 years on, I hear God's voice booming forth in the days of the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 46 and the verse 9, Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. So God is saying to his people again and again, there is one God, there is only one, and his name is Jehovah. Pharaoh had great difficulty with that. When Moses and Aaron came into Pharaoh and told him that Jehovah, the God of Israel, the God of the whole earth, demanded that he should allow every Israelite to leave his land so that they could worship their Lord, Pharaoh banged his foot against the base of his throne and he cried out, Who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Pharaoh, in effect, was saying to Moses, Who's this Jehovah? I refuse to recognize him. I know Ra, the hawk-headed god. I know Osiris. I know Isis. I know Apis. These are my gods. But who is this impostor Jehovah that I should bow down to his demands? I refuse to hear him. Poor Pharaoh. He was going to really pay for his stubbornness, for the folly of playing himself off against the Lord. He and all of Egypt with him were just poised to be bundled into theological nursery school. They were about to learn what they hadn't known before, the ABCs of true divinity, the fundamental fact that there was one true and living God which had created the world and everything within it, who sustained that world by a word of his awesome almighty power, and who now controlled the world and everything that was in it. And the first and last picture book that our eternal God put into Pharaoh's hand as he sits there in that theology school was The Ten Plagues. That was the title on Pharaoh's first book. And through those plagues, the omnipotent power of God and the absolute embarrassing impotence of that set of puny idols Pharaoh had chosen to worship were set forth. Pretty gripping. And very dramatic lessons. Romans chapter 9 and verse 17 tells us that when God sent the plagues into Egypt, he was able to show his power, that his name might be declared throughout all the earth. In other words, the ten plagues demonstrated that God Jehovah was everything, while the little false gods that the Egyptians worshipped were absolutely nothing. If you like, they were really boxing bouts, those ten plagues, and in every plague that God sent into the land of Egypt, he was attacking and showing up the inadequacies and the falsehood of the Egyptian gods and goddesses. For instance, the Egyptians believed that several gods and goddesses guarded the river Nile. But when God turned the Nile River into blood, he showed their total inability to guard that river. The Egyptians had a frog-faced god called Osiris, but Jehovah showed up the powerlessness of Osiris when he sent in swarms of frogs to invade the land of Egypt, another careful choice by God. Some of the Egyptian gods were meant to protect the animals. How could the livestock then be wiped out, as they were in the fifth plague, if the Egyptian god Hathor, with a cow head, protected the cows? And if they were looked after by that famous Egyptian cow god Apis, a symbol of fertility? God was clearly demonstrating again through this plague that both Hathor and Apis were false gods. In the seventh plague, God sent hail, thunder, and fire, and destroyed the crops of the Egyptians. Again, he was showing that several goddesses and gods were unable to control the storms in the sky and prevent crop failure. These included the sky goddess Nut, Osiris, the god of crop fertility, and Set, the god of storms. In the tenth plague, one of the leading goddesses, Isis, who supposedly protected children, she was incapable of preventing the death of the firstborn child in every Egyptian home. Those ten plagues were actually showdowns between Jehovah and the false gods of Egypt. And the message that kept coming through was this: the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. On each occasion, the plagues trumpeted with one voice that God was on the throne, that he ruled and he reigned, and he alone. In the divinity school that God built for Pharaoh, God underlined again and again the truth of Isaiah 42 in the verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. And he was giving emphasis to the words that Jesus would later speak in Matthew 4 and the verse 10. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. When God commands, Thou shalt have no other gods before me, it's because no other gods can stand before him. The gods of Egypt, they all fell. Under the weight of the plagues, they tumbled one by one. I read of the Philistine god Dagon falling before the ark, the symbol of the presence of God in 1 Samuel the chapter 5. I read of Elijah's confrontation on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal, and every one of them fall before the living God of heaven, 1 Kings the chapter 18. Our God brooks no rival. He has no rival. I like the little incident that I heard about some time ago involving Peter McKenzie, famous Methodist preacher. He was being conducted round Madame Tussaud's waxworks in London, and all of a sudden he was brought to a chair behind a rope, and he was told, now this was the chair that Voltaire, the French infidel, sat on as he composed his blasphemies against the God of heaven. Without asking any permission at all, Peter McKenzie stepped over the rope, sat down on the chair, and he began to sing, as only a child of God can sing, Jesus shall reign, where'er the sun doth its successive journeys run. This God is still our God today. We fall down in worship before the Creator and the Redeemer of men. And we can say that Elijah's God still lives today, and answers still in power. As when Elijah prayed for rain, God answered with a shower. If you would have your soul refreshed with rain that falls from heaven, you must pray through like all the rest, and showers shall be given. I close today with the words of 1 John 5 and verses 20 and 21. And there John says, And we know that the Son of God has come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God, and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Keep yourselves from idols, and keep close to the one true and living God of heaven and earth.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust that you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. We're on the air here on Gospel AM each morning, Monday to Friday at 9:30. So do remember to join us at this time as we let the Bible speak.